It's a new day. At the Freedom Station, WFYL is working for your liberty, presenting news with no spin.
Thought-provoking. A local commentary. Your opinion matters.
Put the power back in the hands of the people.
Endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's a new day.
Good morning and welcome to It's a New Day here at 1180 WFYL. We have a very special program planned for you this morning. We mentioned it yesterday, and it is all things concerning veterans. It's one of our roundtables that we've been accustomed to every few weeks here.
Yeah, we're calling it our Veterans Matter Roundtable, and just let everybody know that we will be commercial-free.
That's right.
And this two-hour special program is brought to you by the Valley Forge Military Academy and College and ShopRite of Hatfield.
And by the way, my name is Andrew Turner.
And I'm Bruce Stocking.
And we have Corinne Lussel here in the studio. But there is we are packed with guests this morning. So I will rifle off some of their names. I have Nancy Becker here, Sean Halbaum, and Kristen Rose. And we'll be joined by a few other guests in just a few minutes. So first off, welcome to our guests, guys. Thank you for coming in here this morning and being able to talk to us about Veterans Affairs. Here at WFYL, we really like to honor our veterans in a number of different ways, and this is just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, and this is an important thing for Americans to realize, is we are now starting, because of situations such as what veterans had to deal with when they returned home from the Vietnam conflict, and even Korean conflict, for that matter. And veterans, ever since, it's been recognized, we're not going to treat them like that again in this country. Our veterans are our heroes. If you're looking for a hero, which so many people are in this country, they're always claiming a sports figure is a hero, a movie actor or actress is a hero. You want a real hero, you look at the men and women in uniform and the men and women who served and are no longer in uniform. Those are our true American heroes. And sure. Today we're going to be talking all things about these heroes. What's going on? We're probably going to be mentioning things such as the VA scandals that's going on.
That's right.
The different things that are happening, different organizations and people themselves and things that they're doing to assist our vets and thank them. And that's a big point, ladies and gentlemen, is whatever you get out of this two-hour program today, never forget one thing. That these people fought for your liberties, fought for your freedom, defended this nation and the Constitution, and thank them.
Oh, yeah.
Thank them whenever you get a chance.
Talk to them as well.
Yes.
Give them a conversation.
Yes. Yes. Recognize them for their service.
We'll be going through a number of different topics. As I said, all things concerning veterans, from mental health to education to jobs and physical rehabilitation, as well as what Bruce said, you know, some of the VA scandal stuff. We'll be talking a number of different things. But anyway, let's get to our guests that we have here today. Nancy, you work for the county, correct?
I do. I'm the recorder of deeds here in Montgomery County. And one of the aspects of what we have to do is record veterans' discharges. And what we used to do is go out to the VA, to the American Legion, to the VFWs, and say, it's very important to record your DD-214 or your discharge papers with the county, because when a veteran passes, usually the funeral director will contact us so that they can make arrangements for a military funeral and see about whatever benefits there might be. It's a little depressing when you die. You should, you know. So in 2011, my grandson was in Afghanistan, and I said to him, Sean, what can I do for you? And he said, I'm in the Air Force, Grandma. I need nothing. So then when he extended his stay, talked to him, and he said, you know what you can do for me, Grandma? Do something for the veterans. So in 2012 in Montgomery County, we started a veteran's photo ID program where the veteran comes in, he or she records their discharge, and we issue them a photo ID. And this photo ID entitles them to discounts at almost 400 businesses here in Montgomery County. And I hear Hatfield ShopRite is one of your sponsors.
That's right.
And they were one of the first stores that came on board. They're an amazing facility. So we come in and we get to talk to the veterans. Every day I go into work, I have the honor of shaking a veteran's hand and thanking them for their service. So, in order for the program to be successful, for any businesses who are listening, it's important to have businesses that recognize our veterans and are willing to give them either a discount or some sort of an incentive to use their business. The website gets about 1,000 hits a week, so you have the potential of having lots of people see your name. We've photographed over 3,000 veterans since we started the program, and every veteran gets the list. We update the list constantly, and if we have the veteran's email, we send them an email every 6 weeks. So it's an amazing way to get your business advertised free of charge, doing the right thing, helping the veterans.
And it's something I think that a lot of businesses may take part in here or there, but to actually be on the books and say, hey, come on in, you know, just show your photo ID, your veteran photo ID, and you'll get, you know, the treatment. You get a little special treatment, which is well deserved, I think.
And there are also various other businesses out there, such as restaurants and so forth, that on things like Veterans Day, Memorial Day, will actually offer discounts to veterans, and all they have to do is, you know, just produce their VA card and so forth, and they'll get those discounts. So more and more businesses are starting to jump in on this.
Yeah, I used to work for a family business, and whenever we saw somebody come in, we'd be like, hey, and they, you know, they had a hat on or a shirt on. Were you Marine? Were you were you in the Air Force? Come up to me when you're ready to check out, and we'll make sure you get, you know, family and friends discount. So we always used to say, because, you know, you're at this point, you're family and friend, man. So we have next Sean Halbum. Sean, tell us a little bit why you're here and who you're representing.
So I work for Montgomery County Veteran Affairs Office. So like Nancy, I work for the Montgomery County here. What we do is we assist Montgomery County residents with applying for various VA benefits, disability compensation. There are needs-based programs for retired veteran seniors and their surviving spouses. There's state and local benefits as well. So what we do is we act as an advocate for these residents to help them through the VA process applying for these benefits so they don't have to go it alone.
Well, it's definitely you're going to be an asset to us today to be able to talk about some of those processes and what that looks like, and firsthand, you know, kind of working in that field. It's definitely something that we will touch on today. So thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
Finally, last but not least, we have in the studio here with us today Kristen Rose. She is the Director of Admissions for Valley Forge Military Academy. So, Kristen, thank you for joining us today. And why is it important for you to be here today?
Well, as Director of Admissions for Valley Forge Military College, we actually are the official military college of Pennsylvania. We were designated that by the legislature several years ago. We're also a military-friendly school, which means we're in the top 20% of schools in the nation for serving our veterans and serving former military and spouses in their transition back. So personally, it's important to me because I have a father who is a Vietnam veteran and very passionate about helping veterans in that aspect.
Thank you very much, by the way. Just to give you a little insight onto Bruce and I, if you haven't listened to this program before and this is your first time tuning in, I've had both my grandfathers served in World War II. You know, they've been around telling me stories, and I have their medals and everything like that. And my grandfather's uniforms are up in a couple of military museums in Britain. And my
of course, you have to lay out he wasn't a United States soldier.
That's true, yeah. But all veterans really is what we're talking about here today. So, and then my grandfather on my mother's side was a navigator of a B-52. And Bruce, you're not stranger to veterans either.
Oh,
are you?
Not at all. Not at all. In fact, myself, I've never served in the military. However, I've been associated with the Virginia Military Institute with the introduction of cadets into the Virginia military. We call them rats down there when they come in their first year. Worked in Washington for 20-some-odd years with MDW, Military District of Washington, out of Fort McNair. My father served in Korea. His father in World War One. His brother, my grandfather's brother, was a flyer in World War One.
Wow.
And achieved ace status from what the family legend has been told. I've never really looked into it either. But yet they served in there, and also back all the way through just about every conflict this country's in. You can take it right all the way to the Revolutionary War. So that's Civil War, war with Mexico, War of 1812. And Revolutionary War, and you'll find a stocking there somewhere.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, that's all of our guests that we have joining us today. And we've got a number. We've got somebody calling in. I've got Earl from the PA National Guard. He's a Scranton vet. He'll be calling in. And then somebody else who we've got going to be calling in. We'll keep it a secret for now. But let's start off with our first topic
here. Well, you know, I think what we one thing that we need to point out, and maybe we can start this as the first topic,
sure,
is the Montgomery County, what Nancy and Sean were talking about.
Yes.
Is the services, the things awarded for vets for their service. And I want to point out to a lot of folks that, yes, we do live in an entitlement society. This has nothing to do with that, because these men and women, these veterans, earned this right, earned these benefits.
That's right.
That they're getting, unlike those that are just given because they're there. These people earned it. I want to make that incredibly clear for anybody out there that wants to sit there and say, well, it just falls into the entitlement society. No way, shape, or form. And they earned it. Now, folks, with these benefits that come in, maybe explain a little bit about, because there's vets out there that have heard about this. And, you know, you get whispered down the lane, heard through the grapevine, but, you know, a lot of folks, they don't like the call to find out. What exactly do they need to know for they can come through and, hey, I'm a veteran, what do you got? Maybe a little bit of the process.
Well, the first thing that we usually ask for is for the veteran or the family member of the veteran when they call in to have that discharge document, the DD-214, in hand. There are very few, if not, you know, no benefits at all that you can apply for through the VA without having some of the information off that discharge document. So, and again, Nancy's office has really helped us with, you know, putting these discharges on record so that when, you know, someone calls and says, you know, hey, I heard that there's a VA benefit that can help pay for my, you know, elderly mother's nursing care, but I don't know where the discharge document is. You know, if we can find it on the public access system, it saves us a 6 to 8 week wait getting it from the National Personnel Records Center. So, you know, just having your ducks in a row in that regard helps us out exponentially.
Mm-hmm. I can only imagine so. I mean, with this many people coming back and making sure that everybody's on the books to have come back, you don't want somebody to fall through the cracks, and then 6 to 8 weeks is a long time when you're getting your just dues. And Nancy, you told us a little bit about the photo ID program and anything like that, and the discharge papers here and there. Is there anything else that Montgomery County is trying to do for our veterans?
Well, first of all, I did want to also mention that when we record veterans' discharges, it's considered private information. Mm. So it's not out to the general public. We share our information with Veterans Affairs, obviously. But it's considered private information until 75 years after the veteran dies, and it can be public so that people can do research for the history. We have discharges dating back to the Civil War and the Spanish-American War. So we have some real good historical information about the veterans who served here in Montgomery County.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, that's a good point, too, because I do know with this area, the Civil War veterans is very much an interest of a lot of people, history-wise, to know that those records are there at the county. I don't think a lot of folks know that.
No, they probably don't. And it was interesting because back then they didn't have a Social Security number or
right.
even a number that they issued them. So the discharges will have things like wears glasses, scar on left cheek, blue eyes, things like that to identify who the veteran was. And we found that very interesting as we actually got all those records together and digitized them so that they
wow.
would be access to the public if they wanted to research the history of their family or
yeah.
someone.
Is that type of information going to ever be, you know, for like Civil War vets or any of those that fall in that category, the what did you say, 75 years, is that ever going to be online where people can go online for
it? It's online right now.
Oh, excellent, excellent.
That's great. Imagine how much more difficult your job would be without a Social Security number, right?
Yeah.
So, can only imagine.
No dog tags in those days either.
Yeah. That's true. Well, let's tackle our first topic. We're talking mental health, transitioning from service back to home life, and family relationships, things like that. And the mental health of our veterans is really important. Kristen, I'd like to start with you. Is there anything in the education that is in place to help our veterans today, or the students maybe soon to be veterans?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that we let them know now that for their health in the future?
One of the great things that we've been a participant in this year has been Yellow Ribbon programs and throughout the state, where returning veterans, servicemen and women, as they return, go to a Yellow Ribbon event. And they do get an experience, exposure to a variety of different services and things that they may not have known about that they have access to as returning veterans. They do speak to people there about education. Like I said, we participate at Valley Forge Military College in that event so that they can learn about their benefits there. We also work through the financial aid process with them and all of that. Most schools also have veterans offices or points of contact for veterans on campus to help them deal with different issues.
Mm.
The financial aid offices are trained to help apply GI Bill for family or spouses. I know we're speaking about that later on in the education portion.
Yeah. Sean, what are some of the things that you've seen as far as transitioning from service or family relationships and even suicide rates?
As the war effort has toned down, the military has gotten a lot better about out-processing service members with better information. When I was getting out of the Marine Corps in 2009, there was still a pretty heavy deployment schedule. I got back in the U.S. about 2.5 weeks before my last date, so it was pretty much, sit you in a classroom really quick, rifle off a whole bunch of information about VA benefits and, see you later. So now they're giving guys, and gals who are getting out of the military a lot more exposure to, VA benefits, education benefits, employment, networking, resume building, things like that. So they're not, getting off active duty and then having nothing lined up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With school, I know we're going to talk more about education benefits mm-hmm. later. The post 9/11 GI Bill, for any veteran who's able to use it, is the best it's ever been since it's been created after the Second World War.
Mm.
I just recently exhausted my post 9/11 GI Bill, and one day at work, I just had some free time, so I went through and counted up all the different payments between tuition payments, housing payments, and book payments that they made, and it added up to over $150,000.
Wow. Yeah.
So, if service members aren't taking advantage of that, and you have, 15 years after you get out of the military to use your post 9/11 GI Bill, it's a head scratcher to me.
Well, Sean, one thing, looking at what we have, you're a former Marine. You were Embassy Guard in Havana and Cuba and Germany. And when you returned stateside muster, of course, you came back to a military air base, or did you come by commercial flight? Did they put you on commercial?
Came back on commercial flight,
okay.
actually. So.
Okay. And the reason I bring this up is that I've talked to and interviewed a number of Vietnam veterans, and, of course, we all are aware of now the horrible treatment that they got when they returned. is that the military were returning people in two different locations. One would be they'd come into an Air Force base. And those individuals that did that tended to have their return home experience a little bit better than those that returned by commercial flight. And one in particular, a good friend of mine, tells the story, and it basically painted the whole thing for him, is that they came back, and of all things with Vietnam, they returned him back to San Francisco, of all places. And he got off of the plane. Here was a young girl standing there. He gets off. She walks up to him, spits on him, calls him a baby killer, and that said it right there, which a lot of vets I've talked to from that era got that. What is the reception now that soldiers are getting in airports? Because this all deals with their mental well-being. They've come from an entirely different world back into the civilian world. And, you know, maybe your experience coming back in such a realm, that a little bit on that. Because, like I said, a lot of our vets, they have different experiences that really have changed their mindsets.
I mean, compared to Vietnam, it's the polar opposite. I mean, the reaction from the public at large is generally synonymous with celebrity status, I'd say, almost. I mean, people are really, emotional. They're very, overtly, happy to see you and thankful to see you. There's nothing I can say, in the wrong about them. I mean, the guys who came back from Vietnam had, the polar opposite,
right.
And we see them probably more than any other cohort of veteran out there, just because of the ongoing health problems due to Agent Orange exposure and these things.
Sure.
And I mean, it's bad. I mean, the way these guys were treated when they came home, and bear in mind, these weren't volunteers like today, how the entire U.S. Armed Forces is volunteer based. I mean, these guys were drafted into service. They didn't have a say in it. And if anything, you would think that people would identify they're just doing their civic obligation and be done with it. But
absolutely. Yeah, I can only imagine, being drafted would be, you'd expect when you get back, I didn't ask to do this.
Well, keep in mind, with Vietnam, not everybody was drafted.
A large
number volunteered. Then you had the draft, then you also had those that were convicted of a minor offense that got the option of sitting in jail or going in the Army.
Which is, I don't know. I don't know what you would do at that point, but...
That's called rocking a hard place.
Yeah, really. so we've been talking veterans all morning here, and we're going to continue to talk about them till the end of this program today. We are going to head to a small little break just for our sanity and for the news. We got a news break, so we've got to go do that. But we do have our another vet on the line. We've got a PA National Guard vet from Scranton. His name is Earl. He's on our lines right now. We're going to talk to him right when we get back from this news break. So please stay with us this morning. We're talking all things Veterans Affairs. So it is commercial free, except for these pesky little news breaks. So we will be right back after this. So stick around with us.
And it is Tuesday, the 19th of June.
Thursday.
Where am I? Thursday, 19th of June, and you are listening to a special edition of It's a New Day. This special two-hour edition, commercial-free, deals with Veterans Matters and is a roundtable. And it's brought to us by the Valley Forge Military Academy and College and ShopRite of Hatfield. And we're discussing all matters that deal with veterans, Andrew.
That's true. This is Thursday.
I don't know where I was there for a second.
It is Thursday, the 19th day of June, and it is just about 35 minutes past the hour. And as Bruce said, we've been talking all issues veterans. We've introduced our guests here today. We have Nancy Becker. I have Sean Halbum. Nancy, you work for the Montgomery County, you're Montgomery County Recorder of Deeds, correct?
That is correct.
Sean Halbum, you are in the Veterans Service Office. You work for the Pennsylvania Department of Veterans Affairs.
Montgomery County, sorry.
And then I have here also Kristen Rose. She's the Director of Admissions for the Valley Forge Military College, right here. That is Pennsylvania's Military College
of Pennsylvania. Yep.
Perfect. Awesome. Right there. And then I have on our lines right now Earl Granville, who is another veteran that we have. We are a pleasure to have here on the program with us this morning. He's currently residing in Scranton. Earl, thank you so much for being able to join us on the program this morning. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Earl, we've introduced everybody here, and we've got you on the line here. So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, as you know, my name is Earl Granville. I served 9 years in the Pennsylvania Army National Guard. On my third tour, my vehicle hit a roadside bomb, which ejected me from the vehicle, and which, with the result, it took my left leg through the knee, had to get amputated. And it was a long journey. It was about 6 years ago. And I do a lot of physical activity now. I learned how to snowboard again. I play sled hockey. And I'm a member of Operation Enduring Warrior, the nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And our whole goal in OEW is we honor, empower, and motivate our wounded service members through a physical, mental, and emotional rehabilitative cycle model for overcoming adversity and hardship through innovation, teamwork, and perseverance. Basically, we send our wounded veterans who are interested. We run Spartan races along them. We just had a wounded veteran down in Virginia run Tough Mudder alongside of our team members. We had another wounded veteran hand cycle the historic half Marine Corps marathon down in Virginia. And a lot of physical activity we do, and a little bit of public speaking as well.
Earl, this is Bruce Stocking. First of all, thank you for your service.
Yes.
And all that you're doing through the PA National Guard and also for veterans and so forth. With the type of physical injuries that you're dealing with those folks, how are the veterans themselves coping with that, such as yourself, and that coming back home, things like that? Maybe if you could talk a little bit about that.
My understanding is, when I went through my recovery down at Walter Reed Army and Medical Center, my peers were other wounded veterans in my situation with spirits. And it could be a little heartbreaking to lose your career in the military. I mean, you won't lose your career in the military, but you just have that sense of defeat, I guess you could say. And which I feel could be a big issue some of these wounded veterans have coming home today is, here you are, you're a hardcore Marine, saving the world or whatever it is you're doing, and then all of a sudden all that's gone in an instant.
Sure.
And it could be very heartbreaking, and it's just not a good feeling, I guess you could say.
Yeah, what kind of support did you receive when you returned?
Well, down at Walter Reed Army Medical Center, I felt the support there was nothing but great. They have programs that help you overcome your injuries physically and mentally. And like I said, they gave me the opportunity to learn how to snowboard again. And I guess that was the start of everything. I learned how to snowboard with a special snowboarding knee for prosthetic when I was sent out to Vail, Colorado. And it was nice to get up on the mountains and start shredding again.
Oh, yeah. That's got to be a rush for you to be able to go back and enjoy and do things and find out that, hey, I can keep going.
Absolutely. And what's nice about it as well, that they introduced me to even new sports. I learned how to play sled hockey. I don't know if you were familiar with these past Paralympics.
Yes.
USA sled hockey got the gold medal.
Yeah.
So, outstanding.
It's incredibly interesting to watch that be played, by the way. You're talking about some of the strongest athletes I think I've ever witnessed. And at first glance, it's a little strange, but then you start watching it and you realize that these guys are, these guys are playing it just as hard, if not harder, than some of the guys you watch in the NHL.
Well, it's really a shame for me. You look at them, they're more physically fit than I ever was.
Yeah.
So, but Earl, explain a little bit and talk a little bit about your involvement, in what you're doing with veterans and so forth, for our listeners can find out a little more what's happening out there.
Absolutely. Well, I'm involved in a lot of organizations, like I spoke about before, Operation Enduring Warrior. And that, like I mentioned before, we help our wounded veterans go through these very, very obstacle courses or marathons or whatever it may be. It could be a race of any type, something just. And we like to run alongside them wearing a gas mask and military fatigues. And the gas mask represents the reminder of what these wounded veterans face, the adversities they go through after their injury.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, before I became a team member, I was a comrade of the team, and I ran alongside them without a gas mask. Just plain old me.
Yeah.
We did a Spartan race down in South Carolina. And I get the feeling of just crossing that finish line was just amazing. Was realizing what I just did, and they assisted me in any if I needed assistance at all. And what I feel like the message, one of the messages I found in Operation During War, which we really don't promote, but what I found in OEW was there's that sense of camaraderie. Everyone who wears a mask is a veteran,
mm-hmm.
and we're not just sending you out on the court, hey, good luck on the Spartan race or whatever. Maybe they're going to embrace the suck with us, and I like to call it my battlefield, my new battlefield, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
Now, no battlefield can replace what we go through in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Correct.
But I guess there's no blood, there's no bullets, but
it's the challenge.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we're all together, and we're all finishing in as one.
Well, speaking of challenge, and I'll throw this to both you, Earl, and with Sean, with the situations now that are taking place and the investigations and the systemic administrative problems in the Veterans Hospital, and also with the corruption that's been going on with this, how is it affecting the veterans, what you both do? Either one of you, whoever wants to start first.
Go ahead, Earl.
Well, myself, I really don't work much with the VA, to be honest with you. For my prosthetic care, I actually go down to back around Washington, D.C. to Walter Reed because
mm-hmm.
The issues I was dealing with the VA with getting prosthetic parts was very, very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Where I could go to Walter Reed, I could get a part or something, a new leg, in less than a week. Walter, or when I go to the VA in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania here, it could take up to 6 weeks.
Mm.
Wow.
Did they ever give you an explanation why it takes so long?
It's all paperwork. For instance, also, they don't have the actual prosthetic department there at the VA hospital. They chapter out the hangar prosthetic, which is used by civilians and everybody. I signed for a prosthetic part at the Wilkes-Barre VA. They sent it to the VA. And to get that paperwork down there, for somebody to get to that desk in Philly VA and assign it back up to Wilkes-Barre to give it out to hangar, you can see the long process here.
Sure, sure. Yeah, it's go ahead.
I could go right to Walter Reed and I think it's right there in front of me. There's no paperwork. Obviously, there's paperwork, but I fill it out right there. Or what parts I need, and it could be in just like that.
Yeah, it's amazing. You would think you would have the same type of access and facility at all VA institutions, and wouldn't have to go through the inconvenience of traveling all the way down to Washington when you could just go over to the Wilkes-Barre area as well.
Well, the issue with the VA doesn't realize is before Iraq and Afghanistan, we were dealing with a lot of these veterans were very old with diabetes, and they just need a prosthetic leg to live. But now we're dealing with 20, 30-year-olds who want to mm-hmm. live. And they need to realize that sometimes this isn't where the 6-year-old guy just needs a leg to get around. And they want to be active. They want to move around. And I break my prosthetic leg constantly with these obstacle course races that I do.
With a Spartan race, I could imagine you'd go through a couple of them, right?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I break them pretty good.
Well, let me ask you, both of you gentlemen, this as well. Wounded Warrior Project. That is a very much up-and-coming and very good organization. Have you dealt with them, those folks at all, in the good service that they're doing? Sean?
Yeah, we've, first off, you can't do anything veteran-related anymore without seeing Wounded Warrior Project, and they've, if nothing else, they've done a great job of making, combat veterans and injured veterans, a national issue, and their awareness campaign is really second to none. I know they've been taking a lot of flack recently because of, just as all nonprofits do when they get larger and money is spent differently. When I've seen Wounded Warrior sponsoring events, I ran a Tough Mudder the summer before last. I've always gotten, a really good, vibe from, the members who were there, the people who were taking part in it. All of the stakeholders are obviously, people who want to support, Wounded Warriors and veterans at large. So, I certainly don't have anything bad to say about Wounded Warrior.
Oh, no. In fact, they are at the forefront of a lot of, there's a lot of different organizations out there that are
assisting our
veterans, and Wounded Warriors being one of them, they're probably the most known.
Yeah, they are. And you're right, Sean. I think anytime you talk about Veterans Affairs these days, you'll see something from Wounded Warrior Project. And they're always out at those Tough Mudders or those Spartan races and everything like that. By the way, if you're listening out there and you don't know what a Tough Mudder is or a Spartan race is, it's probably because you're like me and you can't actually complete one. Because they are the closest thing to an obstacle course marathon. They just beat you up. It sounds like more and more as we're talking about this kind of stuff, and Earl, you kind of brought it up a few times, is that, when these things happen, how important is it, for the vets there, to actually complete that race? Cause you completed one and you said the Spartan race, there's people there to help you through that, but what's that feeling like, coming back, after you've been wounded in action, and you come back and you finally get to complete something like this?
I feel like it just takes away that sense of defeat. And I've done a few of these in the past. And the first one I ever did was in 2012. I did it in honor of a fallen brother of mine, and everyone on my team I was in the military with, and just crossing that finish line was such an amazing feeling. Like, I never thought I'd be able to do that. It told me when I was laying on the ground all full of blood in Afghanistan that I was going to complete a 13-mile obstacle course through the mud. I'd be like, get lost. Look at me now.
Yeah.
But I did it. And it just shows to tell you, don't let your injury stop who you are. It's all up in your head. That's what I learned myself. Hmm. I mean, we hear it all the time. Veterans need to realize that, like, you really could accomplish something no matter what your injury is.
Absolutely.
Sure. Of course, Earl, it also depends on those, your loved ones and so forth, encouraging you and giving you that support that you can do. That also plays a big part of it, does it not?
Absolutely. Don't let anybody tell you can't.
Yeah.
We just talked a little bit about the Tough Mudder and everything like that, and you said how important that was for people like you and Sean, Earl, who served, and now they come back, they complete one of these kind of things, and it really takes you back a little bit to your training, and then when you complete that, you're like, look what I've done, look what I can still do. But besides that, and Sean, I'll start out with you on this question, but what other systems are in place besides, obviously that seems, a Tough Mudder or a Spartan race seems a little bit more like a physical rehabilitation victory. What about a mental rehabilitation victory? What's being done for the mental health of our veterans?
So when you're transitioning off of active duty service, first off, those who are wounded in action, like Earl, are taken care of, from the beginning. You're basically go from off the lines to your, to be it, Walter Reed or, the Navy hospital, and you begin your Your physical rehabilitation there, and they will, you know, tie in other, you know, mental health services along with it. Eventually, I mean, they can access the VA down the line if they would like. They can continue to use, Walter Reed, like Earl mentioned. But there are local resources as well, not just nonprofits, but here within Montgomery County, there's the Montgomery County Veterans Center on Johnson Highway in Norristown. And that's actually a federal VA facility. They have, licensed counselors there. And you don't need to have a VA disability rating, or you don't need to have, specific criteria. You walk in or call in and make an appointment, and somebody will sit down with you and you can talk. You can access, group therapy there, marriage counseling. It's almost like a one-stop shop for mental health. Other VA hospitals and outpatient centers have, trained mental health professionals there as well. But there is a growing, nonprofit industry for providing those services as well. We're starting to see a lot of veterans organizations supplementing whatever programs they have with mental health or counseling services.
Of course, one thing with the mental health, which has been in the news quite a lot now, and it's been there, but it's finally being brought to light, is the number of veterans with such conditions committing suicide these days, possibly due to the frustration, the bureaucratic nonsense that's going on, the wait for such treatment and that. But it's also by a report that I read that women veterans suffer a little bit more from this than even what their male counterparts do. Any thoughts on that, gentlemen?
I don't know. I mean, they're learning more every day and week that goes by about things like, traumatic brain injuries, TBIs, post-traumatic stress disorder. I mean, the new DSM-5 has, identified or some changes in these two areas. And there's still a lot to be learned about the effect they play in long-term mental health and, risks for suicide and things like that. But, it's one of those things where we're going to have to, as a nation, just remain proactive in seeing, not just what's happening right now, but, 30, 40, 50 years from now.
Yeah, in fact, looking at the top little part of the article here, it's Female Veterans by Amelia Thompson DeVue, and she says she was shocked to learn that about 20% of the 32,000 people who commit suicide every year in the U.S. were veterans. And it's an amazing figure. It says even more horrifying was the revelation that, according to a recent study, female veterans are about three times as likely as their civilian peers to commit suicide. Wow.
I mean, at that point, you're still a veteran. You still served this country.
Sure.
You still protected this country. And that's sad to hear. For any veteran to have to feel that way, let alone, such a minority in the military these days. Nancy, how often do you see female vets coming in?
We have quite a few female vets coming in. We had one lady who was from World War II. She was a Marine, 96
wow.
years old.
Wow.
And she felt that she was the last female Marine alive here in Montgomery County from World War II. And I was not in the office that day, and I missed her. But she sent me an email saying that she's sorry she missed me. So God bless her, 96 years old. She knows how to do email.
96 years young, could say on that.
That's
yes.
correct. And the other thing I'd like to say is, if any of you have a friend, a child, a grandchild, a relative who has just come back from this latest conflict that they have been in, to give them time to talk. My grandson served 7 years, and he was discharged last January. And it's just now that he's starting to talk about some of the things he saw when he was in Afghanistan. And I think you have to be patient and talk to them and really encourage them to talk about some of the good things that they saw, he said when he was there, he felt like he was a hero because he was really all branches of the service came and thanked him because he was working on the drones. And they were, you know, saving a lot of lives.
Mm.
And but other than that, you know, now that he's talking about some of the environmental issues that these veterans have faced, you know, with just the sand and the hygiene, you know, they don't have trash collections. They burn everything. And so you have all these smells and things happening. So I think we're going to see a lot more residual effects as years go by that these vets were exposed to serving in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Nancy, you bring up a very good point. We were talking about this, you know, yourself and also Kristen, before we went on air today, we were talking about veterans and the frustrating factor that they need somebody to talk to. Is so many, and we all have known this, you don't have to be in the military, you want to just talk to somebody about something and they don't seem to be interested or have the time and you get so frustrated with yourself. Imagine being a veteran that comes home after some time of getting acclimated back and you want to talk and it seems like nobody wants to listen to you. Is to take that time and listen. Take that and be a good listener. Let them do the talking. Let them feel comfortable to do the talking. And believe me, and Kristen, you were talking about this mm-hmm. as well, is that the relief and the change that comes about when they're able to express themselves and talk about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We're almost done our first hour here today. I think we've really touched on some very, very important topics.
Yeah,
and we've got such great guests here. To talk about these different topics. If you're just joining us, welcome to the program. It's a new day, and we're doing a special Veterans Roundtable. We've got Earl Granville on our line, who is a wounded vet that we have talking about the rehabilitation process and all the things that are offered for him and some difficulties he may have and some successes. It sounds like there's a lot of success there as well. We have Nancy Becker, who is from the Montgomery County office. So she's a recorder of deeds and the photo ID program. And we can get into a little bit more in the next hour on how Montgomery County is trying to help out.
And education.
That's right. Yeah, we've got education represented here, too, with Kristen Rose. We're going to be talking about that a little bit more in the second hour, for sure. And last but not least, sure, you've heard him a couple of times this hour speaking, Sean Halbum. He's a veteran service officer, former Marine, embassy guard in Cuba and Germany. We're happy to have you here today from the PA VA. So we are going to go to a commercial break, as I said, but for the news. But we will be right back, and we'll be continuing talking all things veterans. So stay with us, folks.
Another full hour coming up.
That's right.